Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. We are live here in the studio tonight, and I'm pleased to say that I have the cast of an amazing show that's here in North Hollywood playing right now, Death of a Salesman by Arthur Murray. Miller, Arthur Murray, that's a whole nother story. But you know what? The elevator was stuck, and here we are, and it's a live show. And what I've learned is like to not give a shit, because life happens, things happen, elevators get stuck, and we're all here right now, and that's exactly where we're supposed to be on Max and Friends. If you've been here with me for the 11 years, I thank you for joining me. If it's your first time, welcome to the show. Follow me on Twitter, at Max Tucci, and on Instagram, at Max Tucci Radio. My private one, well, unless I invite you, don't try to get there because you're going to get blocked. But keep your private life private.
Keep
your private life private. We've got a great show tonight because literally here in North Hollywood, the Secret Rose Theater, April 5th to the 28th, Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. And I've got like the cast in the studio tonight. Welcome
we
you guys.
We just finished our opening weekend.
I know, and I'm like glad you're even here.
Just amazing.
You had a show tonight.
We had a show this afternoon.
Today.
Yeah. 2 p.m. we had it.
Yeah. 2 p.m. And here you are.
The crowds have been phenomenal. We were packed house opening night and a pretty full house yesterday and today. And for a Sunday matinee on a beautiful day in L.A. for
there
people coming out and see theater.
You know, introduce yourself so we know what we're talking about.
I'm Kevin McCorkle. I'm playing Willie Loman. I'm one of the producers of the show, and I'm here with Freddie and Brad. They'll introduce themselves.
Absolutely.
But you know, happy to be here.
Total New Yorker, born and raised.
Yeah.
And I went to theater the other night. Yeah. And it was amazing how like LA is not a theater place.
Oh.
It is film and television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when theater is here, I'm like, this is why you guys are here tonight, because I want everyone to go and support this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, the show plays nationally and everything. But if you're in LA, you have to support the theater. It's so important. Even if you're in New York, because the theater in New York is, you know, it's they're closing. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
So what made you, you said you're one of the producers. What made you want to do this here in L.A.?
Well, it's kind of a fun story. Freddie Giarlando, who's playing Biff.
Hello.
Freddie and I were doing a scene in a class. You know, I've been in this biz 35 years, but you never stop learning. Never stop learning.
Absolutely.
So we study over at the Lacey Group. John Lacey's a teacher. And we did a scene from Death of a Salesman in class.
Yeah.
And it rocked. You could hear a pin drop in the class. There's 25, 30 people in the class.
Right.
And I flippantly turned to Freddie after it was over and said, hey, man, we ought to put this show on. Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Why not? Absolutely.
Right? It was just some smart-ass thing I was saying.
And the week after, he was talking at the SAG AFTRA building. He does his talks, giving like career workshops or whatnot.
And
I came out to that. He invited me out to that. And at the end of that talk, there was like 200, you know, SAG union actors in the room. And he calls me up and he goes, oh, yeah, me and Freddie were putting up Death of a Salesman next year. He didn't even tell me that we were going to do it. So once he said that, made that announcement, I'm like, I looked at him. It becomes real. I'm like,
absolutely.
Kev, we're going to create this thing now. You know we're going to do it.
No, you have to.
Tell the story about your connection with this and NYU.
My name is Freddie Giarlando. I'm originally from Manhattan. I was born in Manhattan, raised in New Jersey. Lower East Side.
Okay. New York Hospital.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
New York. There you go. New York, New York.
Yeah, but I was raised in New Jersey, Middlesex, Monmouth County, Old Bridge, New Jersey. And I came to L.A. about 2 years ago. I was doing theater, a little bit of TV commercials in New York for years. And then I just decided, hey, let's just test out the waters in California and continue to build and manifest over there. So I got here 2 years ago. I got into John's class, John Lacey's class, like Kevin was talking about. Last year. We did the scene in class, and you know, funny full circle how life has it. About 8 years ago, when I first started, I volunteered for a directing the actor class at NYU, And it, you know, they were looking for actors, so I volunteered, and it was a bunch of student directors that was getting taught by a professor, you know, a working director. That director that taught the class, the professor at NYU, happened to be Rebecca Miller,
Arthur Miller's daughter.
There you go.
And you know, I worked with her and the class for about a month. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
You got her email.
No pressure. But the thing was, there was no pressure because I had, you know, I didn't know who she was. I was in the class. I had no idea that she was Rebecca Miller, Arthur
Miller's
daughter.
Some woman named Rebecca Miller.
Right.
So there was no pressure. So right. we were just doing our thing. We were having fun. And then like about maybe a week after the month was over, my buddy that I was working with was like, Do you know who that is? And I'm like, no, I was just, you know, doing my thing. Right. He's like, that's Rebecca Miller. It's Arthur Miller's daughter. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Give her tickets to her show.
Yeah. So it's really funny. And it's a blessing, too, you know, eight years later to be out in Los Angeles in California to put up her father's play.
On the 70th anniversary.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. 1949 was when this first started.
Yeah.
It's a real honor.
Well, it's a total manifestation, too. You know, like you see it in your mind, you hold it in your hand, you make it happen.
Correct.
Right? And especially when you start telling people.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in LA, because there's so much shit thrown around here, and everyone talks about, like, oh, I'm doing this.
Well, the end of that story, and then we'll get Bradford in here, our boy from Alaska. The end of that story is, he connected with the estate and said, "Hey, we want to have a production of Death of a Salesman. Can we have the month of April?" And they said, "Sure." I mean, sure, we had to pay for the rights and everything,
but
we got the rights. And then so easy. The manifestation became a reality.
Yeah. Reality.
And me and Kevin, we just, you know, we were the first producers on this, and we brought a great team on board. I'm going to mention them in a few, and it's just been really a blessing. Everything came together. The cast and crew have been just phenomenal.
It's supposed to.
And then Bradford Johnson stepped into our life.
Bradford Jackson.
Jackson. Yeah. That's Johnson?
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I had a right name today, man.
That's his other role.
Bjorn Johnson.
So, Brad, tell us what.
How I came into the production was I was actually, I'm an actor here in L.A., and my wife and I have been here 6 years, and I've been just doing my thing, but I hired Kevin, actually, as an acting coach, doing some auditions and everything, and
we can't say what it was, but he was up for a very, very big show and got really, really close.
Really close, but I came in for training with him, and he was talking to me, and by the first session, he stared at me, and he goes, "You've heard of Death of a Salesman, right?" And I was like, yeah, no, of course, and he goes, "I think you'd be perfect for the role of Happy," and I was like, "Great. What are you talking about?" You know? And he was like, "No, well, I'm putting on the play." And I was like, "Oh, yeah."
I got right on the phone the producer, Freddie.
Right. I was like, so they brought me in for an audition, and I did it, and I rocked it. And then they gave me the part right there.
These guys.
I love these guys. I love it, bro.
We're like brothers already.
You know, the Lohman brothers, it's like individually, Biff and Happy, but they got to be the Lohman brothers. They got to be connected.
Yep.
They got to have that brother connection.
Right. Well, they're both wearing leather jackets here right now.
They look like the 50s Fonzie version, right?
Exactly. Happy days.
Happy days, right?
Yeah. And when Kev brought him that day when we were reading Brad, I came down. We were at our director's house. I went downstairs.
Bjorn Johnson, our director.
Fabulous. Captain of the ship, and that day I saw Brad at the door, and as soon as I saw him, I was like,
"It was brothers at first sight."
that's my brother. And then we talked that day, and I ended up just loving the kid. You know, he's a sweetheart, man.
Terrific talent.
He's amazing, man.
And then you also have Jules in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Jules Brough playing Linda, and she's a rock star. She is
amazing.
She is my strength and support, my foundation and my support up there. That's one of the lines in the play.
Our executive producer as well. Yeah. She was supposed to be here today, but she's actually sick.
Yeah, she's
sick.
So
shout out to her because she's amazing.
Hey, she was up there like a trooper today, just knocking this show out. Yeah. It was amazing.
Amazing talent. Amazing talent. Super.
And let's talk about the other folks in this show.
Let's first talk about how people, where it is, when it's running, how people can get tickets, and why they need to go. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay.
You handle that. Right?
April 5th, we just opened already. This was our opening weekend. We run every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Sundays at 2 p.m.
Right.
At the Secret Rose Theater in North Hollywood off of Magnolia.
Yep.
You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com.
And if you're not super computer savvy, you can pick them up at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah, for sure.
You can always use cash.
And, you know, this play has been told, you know, in many ways in the past. It's a classic story. And really to do it, you know, justice, take this story on and tell it and share it with L.A. for the 7th anniversary. It's been amazing.
Yeah,
And the show is only going to get better. You know,
indeed.
We just opened two nights ago, and today everyone in the cast and everyone was saying, this is really tuning up. We really got a hold of it, and we're growing. We're growing with it. So that's you know.
And you said the 70th anniversary. So what does it mean for individually for all of you? What does it mean to tell the 70th anniversary of this story?
Oh wow!
Who wants to start?
I'll start. Kevin. one of the most important things that's hit me during this deal is that. In the last couple of days, maybe 15 or 20 people have come up to me and said, "This is the first time I've ever seen Death of a Salesman."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's ironic because this play has done so much.
Yeah.
It's got such heavy runs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It blows me away that we are introducing this play to so many people.
To a new generation.
To a new generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? 70 years this thing has been on. And I tell you, the reaction of the audience to the emotion of this play, to the stories that are represented in this play, to the father-son relationships, to the, you know, men getting crushed under new technology, it's more pertinent now than ever.
Right.
So it truly is, you know, people kind of flippantly say, and we even said in some of our promo material, it's a timeless play. It is a timeless story.
Yeah.
I mean, so people are crying in the seats, and it blows me away that something like that, you know, could happen after 70 years.
It's still happening.
Has been around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, great. People aren't, you know, anyways.
Right. Bradford, what does it mean for you? 70 years, you're telling a story now.
One of the best compliments we got that I personally got from a gentleman talking about the play was, you know, he had seen probably 7 different versions of this production put on, and he said, "You know what's so incredibly special about your guys' version is that from the beginning all the way through, you guys hit the heart of this story every single minute."
Yeah.
And he said, "I have never seen a better performance, you know, in such a passionate, you know, profound, loving cast."
Yeah.
It really meant a lot to me to be able to say that, because this is actually my first Arthur Miller production.
Yeah.
And I'm very honored and humbled to be here. And, you know, every day you never stop. You never put up a show and you go, "Okay, I'm going to do, you know, the same performance over and over and over." No, you always push forward to do the best and better and better and better.
And there's always new eyes watching you.
Oh. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So for you, what do you prefer, theater or film? After doing this,
you know, theater always holds a special place in my heart. It really does. But I am I'm a film buff. I'm a film production guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm originally from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a small little town in Eagle River, and that was where I started with everything. Was making little movies with my brother, and he was the one that kind of pulled me into this Lord of the Rings and fantasy based world, and I really fell in love with that. And that's when I knew I was like, I want to be in movies like Braveheart. I want to be in movies like King Arthur, and that really, you know, drew my attention and acting really took hold of me, and that's where I studied it very hard up there, and I came down here, and I've been doing my best to just keep growing in every department I can, from writing, producing.
Shout out where people can see some of your films, you know?
You can see a few of my films. The first film I ever did was called Come Back Home, and it was a Scottish 14th century medieval piece, and it went on to the Cannes Film Festival, and it What a Workshop, Peter Jackson and Richard Taylor's What a Workshop picked it up, and they really, really loved it, and they shared it, and it's on YouTube. There's a few other productions. There's one I did called The Fallen, and it was directed by a friend of mine, Alex Popov, and it's a Viking piece with a little bit of a sci-fi twist, and it's on YouTube.
That's crazy. It's great.
But it's a lot of fun, you know, and I'm actually going to be moving back to Alaska next month to completely, you know, dive into these productions. But, you know, I don't want to dive into that so much. I don't want to take the attention off of Death of a Salesman. You know, like, Death of a Salesman has been a huge growing experience for me. Back to getting back into, you know, really pushing, you know, exercising the acting muscles more. Mm-hmm. Our director, Bjorn Johnson.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's
brilliant. And he told me something, and I'll never forget it. And he said, "TV is where you get rich.
Right.
Film is where you get famous.
Mm-hmm.
Theater's where you get good."
Yeah.
And he's so amen true. To that. Right. So true. Yeah.
No, it is. That. That's why it's so important. Last night I went to go see 10 Things I Hate About You. It was a musical parody.
Oh, nice.
It was so funny.
Check it out.
You know, and like the whole point of it was like, you know, I love theater. I do. And in Florida, where I have a place, there's like small little theaters. People are buying like these little warehouse storage units and turning them into theaters.
That's the best. Storage, yeah.
You know,
man.
And it's like, awesome. This needs to happen. You know, it's really, it's unfortunate to say that it's like a dying art, but it needs to be revived. And you guys are reviving it now here in LA. Like last night, you know, I there was a woman who was a vocal coach last night and I kind of like offended her. I'm sorry. But like I said, I was like, you're so established. Are you from the East Coast? And I was like, shit, I got to bite my tongue. And she's like, no, I'm actually here. Like, why do people have to be from the East Coast? And I'm like, well, theater, like, to, you know, again, it goes back to even from New York, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You go to the Times Square, you see every theater that's there. Yeah, and then when the show goes dark, it's like, no, like, how can that happen?
Yeah.
So for you, like, how did you prepare for this role, Freddie?
Oh, man. Well, we had a great captain, Bjorn Johnson. We've been doing, I'd say, what, 5 to 6 weeks of
table work.
Of table work.
Just diving into the text,
everybody,
diving into the subtext.
Just understanding, you know, our characters, the story, what we want to say with the story and our characters. And me personally, it was just digging deep into my own life. It's very personal to me, Biff. Biff means a lot to me. I love him to death, and I could relate to him.
How so?
On so many levels.
On the spot.
No.
I don't know how deep you want to go.
Go
into it.
I don't know how deep.
No, go into it. We're here. But all right,
for instance, you know, let's say I picked up my stuff and I moved out west.
Yeah.
To pursue my dream. You know, Biff does the same thing. He leaves home to go out west, and he likes the farms. You know, he's not a business guy.
Right.
Me growing up personally, saying I wanted to be an actor in you know, where I'm from, there's not many people that were artists around me.
Yeah.
And I got mocked. Yeah. I got clowned.
Yeah.
And it definitely hurt.
You know, who was just here earlier was Bob Bergen, who's the Porky
Bob
the Pig.
Bergen. Yeah.
And you know, he's got one. He was born without a foot or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I was bullied and this and that. And he goes, and I had a steel foot toe at one point. And he goes, and when I was telling people this is what I want to do, he goes, I kicked with my steel foot toe. He goes, and the problem with politically correctness is now, he goes, you don't have, if there's a bully, pop him. Right? And it's like, yeah, when you want to do what you want to do, and it's your dream and your vision, and you want to rise up, and you're like, this is what I'm here to do, nothing should stop you.
And exactly, so exactly. True. And that's why it's a testament. You know, I decided to you know, become an actor and go full force with it. So, you know, I packed my things. I came out west. I've been fortunate enough to get great work and inspire people, you know, from back town, you know, because just because someone, you know, isn't an artist in your town doesn't mean that necessarily, it can't happen. You know
right,
what I mean?
Of course.
Sometimes, you know, that old saying goes, seeing is believing. No, believing is seeing, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I believed in myself so much that I was like, you know what? I'm going to go 110%. I'm going to give it all I got. And, just dedicate myself to, you know, my dream and the craft and, you know, God willing, thank God, everything, you know, panned out. And I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by, you know, awesome, talented individuals, veteran actors, and it's been awesome. So for anybody out there that's listening that wants to pursue the arts or just something that that they love to do and they kind of are doubting themselves or whatnot, just go forth with it, because with you doing that, that can inspire the next person that kind of doubts themselves. They don't have people around them saying, hey, go do that. You could be that example and that inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like, it's like the whole, I love it. I use this quote often, the one from Pretty Woman. Everybody come to Hollywood got a dream. What's your dream? Right? So
it's
like, but that's the thing. Yeah. And I'm a huge believer in dreaming. And that's what we talk about a lot on the show. And it's like, you need to daydream, because daydream it into reality.
For sure.
Right. And we're able and capable of doing that. We are the creators of our reality. So if it's your dream and you see it happening, it's happening.
Yeah.
For you, Kevin, theater, what does it mean to you?
Oh, my God. Well, I did a play, an Arthur Miller play with Bjorn Johnson, 15 years ago. And it was another Arthur Miller play, After the Fall, and a small role in that show. But it was very similar to this. So I'm in kind of a weird deja vu now.
Full circle.
You know, coming around full circle. You know,
so cool.
And, you know, talking about, you know, your dreams and, you know, none of us can do this on our own.
Right.
It requires reaching out and forming a team of people. And my thing, especially for the last 2 or 3 years, has been, I only want to work with people who are my biggest fans and I'm their biggest fans. Yeah. I love what they do. They love what I do. No energy suckers, no stabbing in the back. It's all love. And
that's
you know
all
what?
We can thrive on.
It's
right
crazy.
Now.
Yeah. It's yeah. crazy when Absolutely. You when you go at it with that attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, because this business can be very cutthroat. It can be very, you know, I got to survive. But if you chill back a minute,
right,
and yeah. you find the people that will the help tribe. You and the people Your that tribe. You can help.
Yeah.
God, there's nothing else, you know.
Death of a salesman happens.
Totally, death of a salesman yeah, happens,
man. Right?
Death of a salesman so happens.
Yeah, it does.
And it's funny because you know I talk. Willie talks, you know, about selling. And when I'm talking about selling up there on stage, mm-hmm. Acting is really in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, there's personality in it. There's friendship in it. There's comradeship. There's respect. There's gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff has to be in the process that right. we have. And to be honest, you know, we're talking about theater and how theaters mm-hmm. are closing. Mm-hmm. It's a corporate world out there,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
not making, yeah. you know, millions and millions of dollars, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I don't
Judge
want to
Judy,
bother
47
with it.
Million a year. I was
oh,
just watching this video.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I'm That's like, what? But how much?
Insane.
47 million a year.
Yeah, God bless yeah. her, though.
Right. No, I think it's wonderful, but you know? The reality is it's out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe you guys got to hit her up for the next production.
Well, listen, I'm not against
Judge
the
Judy,
money. I'm not against the money part of it.
We got you.
I'm not against the money part of it at
not
all.
At all. Yeah.
You know? But for me, you know, I kind of bisect my career into different areas, you know? And sometimes the stuff that doesn't pay you money, but it gives you the foundation
yeah.
and it allows you to tell the story and you can kind of be like a renegade troupe of actors out there telling a story on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
That is as exciting to me as working
Absolutely.
In a huge
No, you
film.
Know, for me, theater, it's like it validates an actor because you, yeah. I see you, I yeah. hear you, you matter. You know, yeah. that's the common thread that everyone has. But when you're on yeah. stage, I really see you yeah. and I really hear
there's
you.
There's no second yeah. take.
There isn't.
You got to get up there and do it live.
You do.
And yeah. you, and there's a living, breathing entity of the audience there right. participating yep. Yep. with
you. Know, that's
you.
Important. So because audience is a huge thing.
Yeah,
And
totally.
One thing, look, I'm going to just be all front with you. When you get to the theater, turn your phone off.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Number
Amen.
One. Amen.
Like the reality.
Airplane mode.
off. Power off. Off. And if it's off. That deep off. Where you got your kids, whatever, that means you don't trust your babysitter.
Sounds like you've heard a few phones
you know,
going off
it
in theaters.
It drives me nuts. Yeah. And even more at concerts. Yeah. Like, I don't want to see the concert through someone's phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right,
so
right,
it's,
like, right.
it's so disrespectful. And the thing is, you guys all feel it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, when you're
for
on
sure.
that stage and the audience sucks, forget even the phone ringing. Yeah, if yeah. the audience sucks,
oh, yeah.
it's like you got it's, their oh, energy yeah. is equally as important.
100%. Yeah. I mean, right? even today at the matinee, yeah. We had an awesome crowd and they were laughing.
They've,
the
all,
first,
been
for,
they've yeah, all been great.
They've all been great. They've all been great. But today, especially, you know, they were yeah. laughing at Brad from the first minute.
Yeah, you were on a roll today, brother.
And yeah, you really were. And it's great to hear that because it's kind of like you go in the back and say, hey, they're with us right now.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Let's give them a good show.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we get inspired and motivated yeah. by,
and
yeah,
really,
by the people
really
that come see
us. It really pumps up the other actors when you get back there on stage and you're like, it's a great crowd tonight. And everyone's really excited to just get on stage and, you know, open up their hearts and bleed on stage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
let the audience see them. Yeah. It's something special to be out there and just, you know, be able to live. You know, we all train so hard. We train for weeks and, you know, 6 days a week at a time just to have a single moment to hop out on stage and open up our hearts and just live.
Right.
For one yeah. moment. And it's very special yeah. to us. And when, you know, when you have those audience that really accepts you and really is sucked into the story, it's something special.
It is.
And the thing I love about theater is that we get to relive those same moments in a different way over and over again.
Every
you know, on film, you know, you got 10 takes and the editor goes, okay, we'll match this take with that take
exactly.
and this will happen. You know, it's more of an editorial director,
right.
you know, platform.
That's very true.
But we're up there.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you know, I think there needs to be
a spontaneous
course
moments.
For theater in the audience participation.
Yeah, I like that idea.
There needs to be a class on how to be a perfect audience participant.
I believe in that.
Luckily, our audiences have been amazing
yeah.
so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, LA receives it well, I think, because it's like such a difference. You know, there's the yin and yang of theater here versus television and film. And like, you know, I love even studio audience. Like, there's a site out there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. But, like, I go all the time to as many shows as I can just because I love being part of that
that's fun.
Live experience.
Yeah.
You know, even, like, I'll go to, like, Bill Maher on a Friday night.
Totally.
When there's nothing
that's
to
amazing.
Do. And I was like, why are you going? Because it's being part of something live.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think live is, for me, it's the way it is because we all experience it. We all have our own perception. We all take something from it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
what is the audience taking from it right now?
Oh, my gosh.
What have they been saying to you guys?
Well, start, Freddie, and we'll roll
you know
around back
you
to Brad.
You mentioned, you know, bringing this to a new generation of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, LA is filled with awesome actors and creatives. And we started just to inspire people to get together and create something. You know, mm-hmm. web series, pilot television, whatever. Mm-hmm. We did theater. My friends came to the show. I haven't seen them in a while. Mm-hmm. And they told me, hey, man, you know, I read this book in high school. That's a lot of people.
Everybody says that.
Everybody that I tell this, you know, hey, I'm doing
damn high school paper I had to write.
I read this book in high school. Have you seen it? No, I haven't seen it. Oh, cool. We'll come out. Yeah. Just to have people that haven't came to the theater.
Yeah,
people have not even seen
it. Blows my mind.
Anything in theater.
Yeah, it's just
so amazing that we get to just put up this story,
right.
You know, bring it to life, and have people experience a new experience
right,
in their life.
Right, right.
It's just really amazing.
And, is amazing.
And theater holds a special place in my heart as well. I started out in the theater in New York, so to be able to bring people out and get people out to the theater and support the stories.
It's so important.
And the beauty of this show, the beauty of Death of a Salesman, is that there are so many universal stories and themes in this play. I don't know how Arthur Miller packed it in. You know, I'll tell a quick story. You know, Arthur Miller wrote the first two lines mm-hmm. of this play, and then he built a small house on his mm-hmm. property. And there's a lot of talk about building and mm-hmm. houses and construction. He built a small house on his property. And then I think within the next 48 hours, mm-hmm. he wrote the rest of the play.
See?
Wow.
And I don't know how in 1948, 1947, 48, mm-hmm. I guess when he was writing it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he captured all these universal themes that have lasted forever.
Yeah.
But that's what I get from audience
members. Yeah.
Somebody would come up and say, oh, my God, my dad was Willie Loman.
Right.
Or my mom. Oh, I miss my mom. She was so much like Linda Loman.
My
brother was like Biff. You know, it's like there's, I get goosebumps, you know, because it's a universal feeling of connection.
It is a total connection. Yeah. And the universal themes of like love, family, and just like the pursuit of the American dream and how it can be good to be ambitious. But if you lose sight of what's important, like your family, to go after something that's super how, like, you know, making money or and all mm-hmm. this stuff, you could end up crazy, like Mr. Willie Loman.
And to piggyback off that, one of the biggest themes is that sometimes, you know, in life, we as men, and this is something I think Arthur Miller really tapped into, is we as men are sometimes so blinded by success that we forget.
The pursuit of it
and just being well-liked, which is something in this world these days with Instagram and Facebook and all these things, and especially being an actor, you know, you're trying to be well-liked, you're trying to be respected, you're trying to seek out success. You forget about the loved ones that are right behind you that are really supporting you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a great book that I'm reading. It's a Japanese philosophy called The Courage to Be Disliked.
Ooh.
I've heard of that.
Okay. Let me tell
I'm
going to
buy that tonight
it is
on Amazon.
It's a great book because what it basically does is it just validates you without everyone's acceptance.
Yeah.
And as long as you know you're giving your all, it's the courage to be disliked. And it's okay if you don't like me. I've been here 11 years. Yeah. I'm grateful for those that like me, grateful for those that don't. But it's fascinating that the ones that don't still tune in.
Tune in, everybody.
The fact that you love yourself that much and you take a step in your own direction and your own path, mm-hmm. that just makes you that much more infectious
to
everybody else around you. And that's
I think that's what Bjorn Johnson has infused in this piece. You know, he has really kept in. Listen, this is a heavy, heavy lift for everybody, right?
Yeah.
And we had limited time, limited budget. What did he say?
Y'all didn't call Judge Judy.
We don't have enough time. We don't have enough space. We don't have enough money.
Right.
And we're going to do this.
He's like, he was saying, we don't have any of that. So what we're doing is impossible. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it in a great way.
And it's happening.
He's been amazing.
He has really infused that feeling that you were talking about, Bradford, of, you know, just knowing that we're going to be able to pull this off, and we're going to pull it off in a really, really great way.
Yeah, no, instead of hoping, no. If you hope something's going to happen, it may or may not. But if you know it will, it's going to.
It's totally going to.
So I know right now that you want to shout out some of your cast.
I got
this playbook ready
to
go.
Because listen, honestly, what everything that came together has been a blessing. And we got together, you know, an amazing group of people, of passionate and dedicated people. And this would not be possible if it wasn't for everybody.
Hold your thought real quick, because we're going to list them all in just 1 second. I got to play this out. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We'll be right back.
We're going to do it.
We're all right here. We're still here.
so we'll do
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. You know what? We didn't go that far because we're right here right now, and we're going to give out, like, who's going to do it? One of you do it. Both of you do it.
Yeah, we'll all dive in.
Yeah, we'll all dive in. Why not? So let's start with the cast. We got my man next to me, Willie Loman, Kevin McCorkle, Jules Bruff, who's playing Linda. She's amazing. She's also the executive producer on the project. My man Brad over here has been playing Happy. Adam Matthew Duarte as
Don't
Bernard.
Forget this guy, Freddie Giarlando, who's
nah,
playing
come on now. Forget that guy. Yeah,
come on.
Cheryl Dooley playing the woman. Frank Krim playing Charlie. Jeff Jeffers, Uncle great. Ben. Steve Andrews playing both Howard and Stanley. Joanne Verbos playing Jenny and Letta. And then Jamie Renee Smith playing Miss Forsyth. I could go on.
Did you mention Jeff Jeffers? Did you mention Ben?
Yeah, Big Ben. Oh, Jeff good. Jeffers, Big I did. Ben. I could go on stories for each and every one of these individuals and how talented they are.
For hours.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time. But and also, of course, we got our director, Bjorn Johnson. We got the other producers on board that worked really hard to bring this together. Lisa McCorkle, Kevin's wife, she's been amazing. Courtney,
she is
King,
my Linda in real life.
Yeah, there you go. She's been absolutely amazing. Lisa amazing. And Courtney, both of you guys have been a dynamic duo, and we wouldn't be where we're at if it weren't for you guys. Our executive producer, Adam David Gregory, stepping up in a huge way, making this show possible.
My brother from New York.
Yes, shout out to Adam David Gregory for sure. We got Ulysses Hayward as an associate producer. Michael Franco, super duper talented. Watching him work has been amazing as lighting designer.
Yeah.
We have Michelle Young, award-winning costume designer.
If you guys don't come out to see us, just come out to
you.
See these. No, just come out to see these costumes.
Yeah,
because these costumes are amazing.
Scott Renfro, our scenic painter. Peter Karlstedt, sound design. Bruce Dickinson and Ina Shoemaker on props. I'm sorry, Ina. Pardon me. Ina Shoemaker on props. Claire Mazio and Austin Heemstra, stage manager, assistant stage manager. They have been killing it.
They're like our angels.
We got 10 minutes.
they literally have been killing it.
He's like, the music is playing. Keep your off stage.
I'm just listening up.
Take your award and get off the stage.
Well, we got one more. Our photographer, Michelle Carmichael.
Oh, Michelle Carmichael did all the
set
photos.
I just wanted to give everyone a shout out, and it wouldn't be possible for everybody.
And of course, Arthur Miller.
Of course, Arthur Miller.
And the estate of Arthur Miller.
And the Arthur Miller estate. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to tell this story and tell our interpretation of it and bring it to LA for this time for the 70th anniversary.
Yeah. And your publicist. Shout out.
And your publicist.
Our publicist, Anka LDV Media. Thank you so much, Anka. She's a super sweetheart. And
Anka called me and she's like, I have a group of guys you're going to love, but they got to all be together. They got to come into the studio. And they got to do it this week because the play only runs until the end. I'm like, why do I have so much pressure for one show?
She's a sweetheart, but she's a killer. And I appreciate her so much. Anka, thank you so much. I love you.
And a little shout out to Rick Shaw and the Secret Rose
Rick
Theater.
Rick Shaw, Secret Rose, yes.
You know, it's a tiny, tiny theater, but it is working so well with our big, big production.
Absolutely.
That's another thing, you know, audience members have been saying. It's like, I love seeing this show in an intimate theater.
Yeah.
I saw it in a giant theater in New York, and I saw little tiny people running around on the stage.
Yeah, no.
You guys are right there, literally in our laps. Literally in our laps.
No, it's true. You know, in the Bronx, there's the Lehman Center for the Performing Arts.
Right,
I'm one of the board members there.
Oh,
and
nice.
We do, like, Patti LaBelle comes and perform. We only have, like, 1,000-something seats. So when you're like right on the stage with Patti LaBelle or right on the stage with you guys, people like really appreciate it because they feel part of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a greatness to it.
They can feel the beat. They can feel the beat.
I also have to give a shout out to Brown Paper Tickets because that's where you all can go right now to get those tickets.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, you got to do it. You know, it's running only until the 28th and you're on the weekends only.
Yeah,
weekends
Friday,
only. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
8 o'clock. Sunday, 2 o'clock. Friday, Saturday, 8 p.m. Sunday, 2 p.m.
So now this was your first weekend.
This is our first
weekend.
So
now, this week, what are you guys going to do this week?
Oh, man, I'm dialing down.
Wait for the weekend, right?
No. I'm dialing down. I'm going to go today.
You are.
And get back in work. Because, you know, the one thing about LA theater that is frustrating is that, you know, when you're ready to open a show, it's ready to close. You got a 13-week run or an 8-week run or a 4-week run in our case. And, you know, you're just like getting the meat on the bone,
right.
And you got to close.
Yeah.
So I think we, you know, if we're going to be really, really responsible with this material, we're going to just keep working it, and having it grow.
Yeah.
And having it grow.
What are your hopes for this to happen next?
Well,
the process.
The Process 360.
So right now, the Process 360 is our theater company that we have right now. Me, Kevin, Jules,
And Lisa. Yeah.
Yeah. We're hoping to bring classic plays to the city of Los Angeles on a regular basis.
Oh, cool.
And you know, we're hoping the success of this play can, you know, help us get
springboard into
other productions.
Plays that.
So here's my question.
Seen.
What do you need?
Oh my gosh. We would love to have that benefactor jump in and, you know, give us.
We need Judge Judy.
Yeah, we need Judge Judy.
Listen, here's my reality. Unless people know exactly what it is that you need, they don't know how to give.
Right. Exactly.
So what is a figure?
Oh God, if we could have, you know, $250,000 would be great for us.
It would be great. Sure.
And super doable for people.
Super doable for people in this town.
No, of course. Cars cost more than that in this town.
And more
parking tickets cost more than that in this town.
Judge Judy could sell her car and then we'd be all right.
And more, you know, just passionate and talented, you know, passionate and dedicated. And if they have talent, that's a cherry on top. Individuals that want to bring classic stories to the
city
of Los Angeles.
We have been so blessed with the people involved in this endeavor. It's just been amazing. Amen. The way that people have just taken the deep dive right into the deep water and really, really done a great job.
Super. Well, the illusion of time is upon us.
Yes.
So we're going to have to wrap this up in a few.
I want to thank everybody that supported us on Indiegogo also.
Yes, absolutely.
Their contribution.
Is that where you started?
Yeah, we started on Indiegogo.
Originally. No, you know, I had someone on earlier. I'm going away for 2 months, and I'm not going to jail. I'm going to Italy.
God bless you. Take me in your suitcase, man.
I like that. I'm going to remember that one. I'm not going to jail. I'm going to Italy.
So I called you and I said, listen, can I do a bunch of shows this week? So I've been pre-recording. I've been here since 3 o'clock today.
My point being,
people are saying, like, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. And I'm like, thank you for being part of this show and telling people. You know, because I'm a firm believer. We have a huge listenership. I mean, you know, we're with LA Talk Radio. Get the free app. Listen to us. We're like all over the world now.
So I know that
there's people listening. They're like, I want to help.
Thank you for having us, man.
You know, it's
really,
my honor
really,
and pleasure.
Really appreciate
so
it.
So before we all run out of here and go and live our lives, what is it that you personally want? And I'm going to ask this to all of you. So
okay.
What do you want, Freddie, for people? What do you want them to take from this play? And the experience.
I honestly just, you know, want people to come experience a good story and be excited to go into the theater and, you know, tell their friends to come out and go see more shows in theater in town in general. Mm-hmm. Just for me, it helped me grow as an individual and an artist. And I just feel just a great debt to theater in general to keep it living and breathing. And, you know, like I said, It's been an honor and a pleasure to work on this play. So honestly, just for people to come out, get inspired or motivated to do something, and they have. Mm-hmm. People have been telling me this past weekend, hey man, I think I'm going to produce this play I've had in mind. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah,
let's do it. Because in this town, there's so many people, and you could develop, especially people coming into town, you know, from the East Coast or from the Midwest or whatever. Being a part of a theater community is a beautiful thing because you get to connect and create with other individuals. You know, that's what the theater started with. And, you know, just for people to come out and enjoy it and get inspired to get to another theater or create another production in theater and get people out to the theater. So that's all.
For you, Kevin, what do you want people to
do? We were talking earlier about dreams and actions and taking action and asking for things. You know, I think it's really important for all of us to support each other and love each other in this whole endeavor. And with this particular play, just come out and see it and see how it resonates with you and your life, because there's so many life-changing messages in this play that's still vital 70 years later.
Absolutely.
You know, come learn those lessons. Come embrace that. And then take it out with you. Don't just, you know, get all emotional for a few minutes and then get back into the grind. Come to see this show and then say, how can this, and I'm going to be bold, how can this, something like this, change my life?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's why we tell stories. It's not to, well, we do make a lot of money and we do have our fortune and fame, but it really is to change people's lives.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And get people to take their dreams and put them into action. Yeah. Thank you for
mentioning
that.
You know, Jim Carrey says, I wish everyone could be famous and rich for once, so they would realize that being famous and rich isn't the answer.
No, it's the process.
It is the process. What do you want people to take from this?
You know, to piggyback both off of Freddie and Kevin, one thing I'd like for people to do and take away from this is come see the show, watch it, experience it, and, you know, feel the presence of what's happening in these characters, and then walk outside and, like Kevin said, take a look in at your own life and, you know, really ask yourself, you know, success, being liked, you know, wealth, and everything that this world seems to blind us about what's in our own lives, take a step back and look at your own life and ask yourself what you really want to do. What calls to your heart? What do you fall in love with? Because whatever you fall in love with, I don't care what it is. If you like washing dishes or if you like being the president of the United States, it doesn't matter. As long as you love it with everything in your heart, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do something. Get out there and do it.
And do it.
Follow it.
Don't let people tell you no.
Just do it. Yeah. Exactly.
Just do it. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, I was going to ask you all give something inspiring for people to take with them for the rest of this week, but you all did it. I call this thing on the wall the illusion of time because I don't know where, how this happened. But I guess when you're having a good time, it happens.
Oh, man.
So, and all thank you so much, Max, for having us.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
No,
so,
absolutely. So I'm going to come on Friday night and see the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Whatever you want, you let us know.
Friday,
let me know.
Friday, I am there. I will be there. I've got a busy week. There was a show. There's another show that's called Billy. This Ain't No Billie Jean King Story.
Oh,
that's
wow,
at the at the Witch, at the Barnsdale Gallery Theater in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see that show on Saturday. So they were just on earlier. This is an intense story. But Death of a Salesman is a classic.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's something that right now, you know what? It's a Friday night. All of you get out of the television zone. Turn your phones off.
Go to the bars later. Go to the bars. Whatever are open really, really late.
Yeah, you get out of there by 11 p.m. You go to the bar.
Exactly. Even so, go home afterwards.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And take all that energy and make it into a baby. Whatever you got to do. Be inspired to make babies after.
Hey, the last thing in the recording, there's a recording in this show. It's my two kids and my wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I get to hear those characters up there on stage. Every performance. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Well, the only way to enjoy the amazement is to go see Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller now, April 5th to April 28th, Secret Rose Theater, North Hollywood. And go right now online at Brown Paper Tickets. Get your tickets. Get one, get two, get three, get four. Freddie wants to say something.
Just one more shout out because I know they're listening. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my son. I love you guys so much.
I am so looking forward to the day you win an award.
Because I'm
like, he was on Max and Friends. And I know exactly who he's going to say for the end. That's the best.
Hey, and when you come out, come on up and say hi to us later because the stage is so intimate and we love to just hang and talk with
and
you guys.
And then do selfies after the performance, not during.
Especially. All right. Thanks, Max.
My
Thank
pleasure.
So
all right, we got to wrap this up. I love you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I'm here every Sunday night. Even if I'm not here in person, I'm here in spirit, and the show will carry on. And I will see you all, or I'll hear from you all when I hear from you. Tweet me at Max Tucci. I love you for listening. Email me, max@maxtucci.com. Let me know what you shows you guys want. You know, the reason why I'm here is because all of you are listening. So definitely, like, let's be in touch. And what I'm going to give you all this for this week is that a great friend of mine, Taja Seville, sings, "Love is contagious." And it really is. So be that person that spreads the love. And remember that not only is love contagious, but so is inspiration. So inspire someone to be better. Inspire, be the inspiration. You know, it's like, be that person that you can inspire someone to be, because inspiration also is contagious. So until next time, I love you for tuning in. I hear you. I see you. You matter. And take life to the max. Good night and good karma.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.